This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
We're all moving on to the same ending of the same story, the story that God is writing in this world. It's through His church He's bringing us there. One Lord, in Jesus' church, we share the same King who directs us, the same King who calls us to submit to His rule, and who cares about this people, cares about this kingdom, cares about this temple, cares about this body. One faith, in Jesus we share the same convictions.
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled, Miracle Grow.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. Today it's our joy to open up the Bible together to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, where we learn that God designs for us to grow in Him together. That God does not design for us to grow in Him in isolation from our brothers and sisters in Christ, but in vital connection, in vital community with one another. And we're really challenged to ask the question, well, how would God have me relate to my own local church so that I would be part of His design, so that I would receive all the benefit that the gospel would bring to me as I'm active in my own local church, and that my brothers and sisters would receive all the benefit that God intends through me, that God would use me as an instrument, not only in my witness to the world who doesn't know Christ, but also in my encouragement to my brothers and sisters who many of them are struggling. Many of them need the love of Christ, and I can be that instrument. So let's open up God's Word together to learn more about what God would have for us to do to influence His church for His glory.
When a believer enters into the family of God through faith in Jesus, we receive a gift that whose worth we cannot possibly fathom, but His worth is infinite. Look at verse 4 through 6. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you're called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all. A worthy walk rejoices in the creation of Jesus' one body and in our participation in it. We get to be part of this something special creation of God. That is unbelievable. That we who are alien strangers, we didn't have one promise we could claim. We're separated from the life of God, without hope, without God in this world, and now we're in His very family. This is unbelievable. A worthy walk recognizes what a rich, lavish generosity that God has given us when He included us in His people, included us in this new society. Seven times God repeats that little word, one, in these three verses. One body. In Jesus' church, we share the same life connection to Jesus with our brothers and sisters. We belong to one another. One Spirit in Jesus' church, we share the same indwelling teacher and comforter. One hope in Jesus' church, we share the same joyful future. Guess what? We're not all going in different directions with a different ending to each of our stories. We're all moving on to the same ending of the same story, the story that God is writing in this world. It's through His church He's bringing us there. One Lord, in Jesus' church, we share the same King who directs us, the same King who calls us to submit to His rule, and who cares about this people, cares about this kingdom, cares about this temple, cares about this body. One faith, in Jesus, we share the same convictions. We proclaim the same gospel. One baptism in Jesus' church, we share the same testimony of God's work of grace. I know that there are details that are different from one testimony to the other, but in reality, every one of our testimonies, everyone who is in Christ shares the same exact testimony. I was a sinner. I was lost. I was without God. God in His grace set His love upon me. He sent His Son Jesus to die upon the cross for me. I recognized I need Jesus. I called out to Him in faith for mercy, and God gave mercy. He cleansed me of my sin. He adopted me in His family, and now I'm His. That's our testimony. Amen? Every one of us who's in Christ, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. In Jesus' church, we share the same Father and the same family. Church unity rises from the unity of God Himself. Notice in that little section, He talks about one Father, one Son, one Holy Spirit, and yet there's one God who's over all and through all and in all. He is three in one. He says, I've designed my church to reflect my three persons and yet my essential unity. many members, one body. It is through participation in that one body, these members coming together, even as Father, Son, Holy Spirit are together in unity, in love, members coming together, that we're able to communicate that mysterious, wonderful, magnificent God. Let me ask you, what do you think is important to God in reference to our salvation, our lives? And the answer is going to be togetherness. It's a clear priority. A disunified church cannot communicate God's message of hope. It cannot. And that's why it says you must be in order to tell. A worthy walk engages in ministry in the local church. Look at verses 11 and 12. He gave the apostles, he gave prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body. Everyone's involved in the work of this ministry. Pastors, teachers are involved in equipping the saints. Saints are involved in the work of the ministry. That's how God designed the church. That's his plan. And then he says, verse 15, 16, rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds up itself in love. So the growth of the body, which brings glory to God, happens as a result of joints connecting together, working properly, and then that body builds itself up in love. A worthy walk enjoys relationships in the local church where we speak the truth in love to each other. We speak the gospel, and we're joined together, and we're part of the building up of this body in love. So the first material God gives us is simply a commitment to God's plan. Are you committed to God's plan? Is the plan clear? And if it's clear to you, are you saying, I want to be part of that? That's what I want my life to be about. The second building material that God gives us to a worthy walk is care for the Lord's people. I want to trace back to verse 2 again. So the first is a plan, this idea that the church is special, a church is called to be one, and God has composed her and designed her in a special way, which includes togetherness, and then we're committed to that plan. The second material, though, is a genuine care, a love for the Lord's people, for others who are inside this body, inside this temple, inside the church. He says here, he says, with all humility and gentleness. It's the first words that he uses to describe the worthy walk. Humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. So a worthy life, a worthy walk is one that presses into togetherness with God's people, even when that's hard. And these three loving attitudes he identifies, humility, gentleness, and patience, all reference difficult times. When everything's going great and there's sort of a mutual joy and mutual benefit to the relationship, we don't really have to exercise that much humility, patience, and gentleness. It's when things go awry, when there's conflict, when there's disagreements, when someone acts in a way that's not right. That's when he says, but make sure you hold on to humility. Humility says, I'm going to care more that my brother or sister is helped, has some spiritual advantage, has some blessing. I'm going to care more that my brother and my sister has a spiritual blessing than I have. I'm going to place their preferences above my own, and I'm going to look for ways to serve them rather than for them to serve me. When I was in Sunday school as a little boy, the Sunday school teacher rightly said, joy, it's Jesus, it's others, and it's you. And the others there, while it is others in the sense of universal, here Paul makes this very specific. Others is especially those who are in your own household, the household of faith, that you'd be humble with one another, with a servant's heart. And then he says, and be gentle. Gentleness takes care not to hurt people who are fragile, who are weak. When Kimberly and I visited our little 3-week-old grandson, and you hold him in arms, you think, boy, that baby's just going to break right there, and so you're so gentle, right? You have great strength, and you realize your strength can be an advantage to this little one, but it also could hurt this little one if you don't take the right attitude toward it. You know, as they grow older, you start throwing them up in the air a little bit, wrestling around with them, but when they're weak, there's some that just needs a gentleness, because if you treat a 3-week-old like you treat your 13-year-old, physically, bad things are going to happen to a three-week-old. And he says, so just walk around. Just know there's three-week-old people that are members of your church. So just walk the way you speak, the way you have an attitude, your expectations on others. You know, if we expect everyone to be, you know, 21-year-old Christians, and someone acts like a three-week-old, we get really frustrated with them. And we tend not to be that gentle. Hey, you should know better. The truth is they're 3 weeks old. We don't see that because we don't have spiritual eyes. So he says, make sure you're gentle. And that leads into patience. Patience means we endure with other members because they do have flaws. They do have foibles. Love is not easily irritated, Paul says. You know, there's a pastor, Craig Greshel, who said something that kind of stuck with me this week. He says, we judge others by their actions while judging ourselves by our intentions. That's pretty good. It's been convicting because I realize, yeah, I do that. You know, so for instance, someone's supposed to call me and they don't call me. Their actions was a failure. And so, well, they didn't call me. And we start, you know, getting up. They should have done this. And they didn't do it. And we're a little bit offended because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Well, we tell someone, hey, I'll call you, and then we don't call them. And we think, yeah, I didn't call them, but boy, I really intended to. Yeah, I wanted to. I just didn't have enough time. But it was in my heart to do that. So we think, I get a little bit of a pass on that. And it's really the opposite should be true, that we judge ourselves by our actions, and we judge others with great generosity. God gives the ministry, the church, to people who are flawed, and that's why he says, make sure that you're gentle, that you're patient, and that you bear with one another in love. A principle is a worthy walk connects to each other even though we clash. Okay, we're going to clash. A worthy walk, a walk that, okay, what is worthy of Christ who lavished such love on me when I was still a sinner? It's that we bear with one another even when we clash. That's what a worthy walk is. Is Christ worthy of that? Amen, he is, because that's what he did with us. The third material is cooperation with the Lord's process. Verses 7 through 10 are really important. I wish we had time to talk about them, but in essence, it's saying Jesus was so generous with us. He descended from heaven, took on human flesh. He ascended victorious, victorious over death, and as he's ascending, he's just giving gifts to his church. He's just so generous. He says, that's who he is, so let's follow in line with him, and let's understand the gifts he's given. And so verses 11 through 12 tell us some of those gifts. He gives apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers. And the apostles and prophets, they're the ones that God gave us to write scripture, write revelation, so that we can know the truth. The evangelists, they're sort of the obstetricians of the church. They're the ones who go out to people who are lost and share the gospel. Praise God for the evangelists in a church. We need them. We need you, if you're an evangelist, to connect to the church in that way. And then there's pastors and teachers, and they're the pediatricians of the church. They care for the young saints, and they care for them by equipping them, says. That's to say, instructs them, prepares them, so that every member does the work of the ministry. Sometimes there's a clericalism to the church in which we say, you know, we pay the pastor to do this, to do the work of the ministry, and that's just not Jesus' plan. And so the third building material is, I want to cooperate with the Lord's process, and the Lord's process is that he's given me some gifts, he calls me to be equipped by the leaders in my church, and then to do the work of the ministry, whatever that is. I just want to do whatever God says for me to do in order for this church to grow strong, strong in worship, strong in love, strong in faith. God gives the ministry of the church to every member. God gives pastors to equip, to resource, to train the members, that the members do the work of the ministry. So a worthy walk is one that simply cooperates with the Lord process for ministry. And that process is pretty simple. Every one of you has given a gift. And it's right to say, am I walking worthy of the Lord? Am I using the gift that God has given me for the purpose that God has given it to me? I know that purpose is to strengthen whatever church I belong to. I know that. That's clear. So am I doing that? Is that how this is working out? Is the process being realized in my life? Last material, the clarity in the Lord's message. I love this. He says in verse 14, he says, as these gifts, pastors and teachers are at work equipping the saints and they're being involved in the work of the ministry, what happens is that we're no longer children. We become mature as individuals. We're no longer tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, by deceitful schemes. In other words, the enemies of God are always attacking the truth of God, the truth of the gospel. But he says, rather, instead of that happening, that we're just getting tossed to and fro, every new idea that comes along with a good story or humorous quip we're going to believe in because it sounds good. No, we're stable. We're settled on what is the message that God would have for us to live out and to proclaim. He says, what we do, rather, is we speak the truth in love. And we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. So speaking the truth in love is far more than simply speaking truthfully to one another. A lot of people read that and say, well, that just means you're honest. Well, it certainly does mean you're honest, but that's not the driving point. You know, if you go into secular organizations, honesty is going to be likely going to be a value. I don't know a secular organization says, one of our values is that we lie to each other. But that's different from what Jesus says here, what God says here. He says, speak the truth. What's the truth? The truth is the message. The truth is the gospel. In other words, part of our connection to each other is that we speak this message in 100 different ways, in 100 different times, so that when we're playing sports together, we're speaking the message. After the service, we're speaking the message. It's more than just the weather. Hey, isn't it great that the snow stopped and we could get to church? It's more than the football game. It's more than our hobbies. It's more than our workplace. What it is, hey, I need to hear from you the message again, because if I don't hear you tell it to me, I'm likely going to listen to some lie that's going to distort that message. I need you to hear, tell me. This past week, my wife Kimberly spoke the truth to me, the message. She talked to me about the gospel. My son Jackson spoke the message to me. Some of the guys on staff, they spoke the truth to me, spoke the gospel to me. Some of our elders, as we had some meetings, spoke the gospel to me. I've had children speak the gospel to me on a Sunday morning. I need that. If I don't hear the gospel from God's people, it's very likely that I'll be caught up in some wind of doctrine. It's vital that the church clarify that message and that we proclaim it together. The togetherness principle, or rather, the principle of worthy walk, is it's one that receives and shares the gospel truth with one another. Without clarity on what the gospel is and what it is not, there can be no building of the body. The togetherness principle, and there's a lot of applications for us here at Bethany that are important. We do not add to the gospel anything that God has not made clear. We do not take away from the gospel anything that God has made clear. The Bible is completely sufficient. So if we have discussions, and we've had a lot of them recently, let's say a discussion about communion. Should we pass out the elements? Should we walk up, receive them? Should we have a long time of quietness with gentle music in the background so that people can confess sin and talk to God? Should we not have that? Should just elders pass out the elements? Or should any servant of God who's humble and walking with Christ pass elements to other brothers and sisters? All those are questions, and they have different degrees of importance. But here's what togetherness means. It means we have a standard. Here's the Bible. And these are all important because we tend to take the traditions that have helped us and God's used to bless us, and subtly they get thrown into the page of Scripture. And that's why one another, when we get together, say, oh, you don't believe that? We open the, let's see, what does the Bible say? If the Bible says it, then that's simple. We follow what it says. If it doesn't say it, we don't add anything to it, though. So that if your opinion is different from mine and we don't find it in the Scripture, it would be wrong of me to say, well, you're a really ungodly person because you don't hold to the same tradition I do. And so God says, be together around the Word, talking the truth, bringing each other back to Scripture over and over and over and over again. Why is togetherness important? First, for God to be glorified. Secondly, for us to receive the joy of God's amazing, amazing plan. I want to close with some applications. The first application is evaluate your own life in regard to walking in a manner worthy of the gospel. use a biblical metric. So yes, apply all the commands regarding what is right and what is wrong. Yes, use all the commands regarding spiritual disciplines, prayer, the word, tithing, church attendance. But also use the metric about whether or not you are living life together with your brothers and sisters in the context of the local church, worshiping God together, encouraging one another together, serving God together to fulfill His mission. Evaluate yourself that way and be honest before the Lord. Lord, I want to know, is this your calling upon me? Am I fulfilling? Am I walking in a manner worthy? I want to, because you are worthy. If you discover, you know, there's some things I'm really neglecting. I'm not on God's plan. I'm on my own plan. Then the second application, well, let's repent. Let's just say, God, I've been wrong. I don't want to be wrong anymore. I don't want to continue down the path of independence or isolation. I want to be together with my own church family. And then finally, pray over specific actions that would lead you to biblical togetherness. And I just want to give you a few ideas. First, the five-minute challenge. That might be one of the specific action items. I just want to take 5 minutes, talk with brothers and sisters, ask them how I can pray for them after Sunday service. It might be that, you know, once a month what I'm going to do, I'm just going to invite somebody I don't know that well over to our house or my house for a meal. It might be that you send a note to a member who's lost a loved one. You say, I know they're hurting, I don't know them, but I want to be together with them, and it's a note. It might be you hear about a member who has a home improvement project and you have some skills that way. You come, hey, I know you don't know me that well, but I'm a member of your church. I'd like to help you with this. What can I do to encourage you? I have a free night this week. It might be that the Lord would reveal someone in your church family has a financial need. And the Lord's given you resources to meet that need. It might be that you would host a game night for church members. Again, church members you don't necessarily know. It's not just your closest friends. You're doing it because you like them as individuals, because you love the church. You want to build community. It might be that you go visit a church member in the hospital. It might be that you seek the Lord for a specific ministry that strengthens the church. There's hundreds and hundreds of ideas, but begin that list, won't you? I love what Paul says in his prayer at the end of Ephesians 3. He says, to Him, to God be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now, here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray that God uses this radio ministry to help you know Christ more and more. How amazing it is to know the living God. What a gift that God has given us through Christ, that we can know Him, and that we can know Him more deeply, more wonderfully, more truly, all throughout our lives and into eternity. Well, God's design for us is not only to know Him individually, but also to know Him in community, that other people help us to know Jesus Christ, and that we help our brothers and sisters to know Jesus Christ more and more. So I want to challenge you, as we've considered this message from Ephesians 4, to ask the simple question, Lord, how would you use me to help my brother and sister grow in their faith this week? What would you have me to do? Whether it would be to pray for them, whether it be to encourage them, whether it be to minister to them, Lord, I want to be used to encourage and to strengthen the faith of my brothers and sisters in my own local church. I believe God will do amazing things through you.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org, and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback, and please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.